right. Well, before we get into our time of sharing, I do want to do a quick announcement. If you signed up for a missions trip and you did the application process and all of that, at the end of chapel, find Wendy and Gabe Frolic in the back, and they have an envelope, and in the envelope has the country or the city that you'll be going to for your missions trip. So that's really important, so make sure you do that. Is that announcement correct, Gabe? Gabe and Wendy? Awesome. Okay, very cool. All right, you guys, well, this is probably my favorite chapel all semester long. And it's a chapel where you get to hear from some of your classmates, some of your friends who are going to be sharing just a testimony of God's faithfulness in their lives. And man, in my role, I know for Noah, Jacob, Gabe, we in student development, we hear thousands of stories of students on campus, of God's faithfulness in their lives, things God's done for them, how they've grown in their walk with Jesus. And it's like the least we could do to give these students a stage to share their stories to encourage each of you. And so, man, there are three students this morning that have been on my heart, that have been ministering quietly but boldly on this campus, and God's done a huge work in their lives. And so they're going to share this morning, and I'm just so excited for you to hear from them. I would just ask that you guys respect and just be attentive as they share. It's kind of hard to get up here and share to hundreds of people, and so please just give your respect as they share this morning, and I know that you'll be encouraged. So the first student I want to call up, he's an incredible man of God. He plays basketball here at Simpson. He comes to us all the way from Nevada. I want to welcome Zach Pantia up to the stage.
Hey guys, so I'm Zach. I'm a sophomore here. I play basketball here. If you guys could just join me in prayer really quick, that'd be great. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for stories. God, thank you that you are the main story. God, we tell our stories today to tell the story about you. So Lord, just be with us today. Walk into the room. Amen. So my story starts when I was 3. My parents got divorced. I grew up in a non-Christian household, but by the grace of God, they decided to send me to a Christian school. So I went to a private Christian school, very similar to this one growing up, all the way through second grade, through my senior year of high school. So I was in your guys' seats. I've been in this seat for a long time, going to the chapels, going to the Old Test, New Test classes, learning all the stories. And I had a great foundation of what I knew God was, and I knew God was real ever since I could remember. But I never walked with the Lord. I never had a season, or I had moments where I'd go to these like retreats that we had. I'd come back for 2 weeks and I'd say, Lord, I'm all in, I'm here, I'm walking with you. And then life would come by, I would just go back to what I was doing, I wouldn't continue walking with the Lord. And It was tough. It's not what we're called to be. It's not what our design is supposed to be with the Lord. And going into my junior year, my mom had got remarried to my stepdad. They had got divorced. My girlfriend at the time broke up with me. And my outlet for all this was basketball. And I had broken my wrist. I was out for 7 months. And I had nowhere to go. I had nowhere to turn. I turned to the world to try to find comfort, to try to find joy, to try to find some of these things that I felt like I had lost, and I found nothing there. My heart was yearning for more. My heart was yearning for something, and I couldn't find out what it was. And then going into my senior year, or towards the end of my junior year, I had met my now best friend, and he was actually my study hall teacher, but he was pretty young, so we connected on a lot of stuff, and he was just there for me, just sat with me when I needed him to. And then going into my senior year, I asked him to get breakfast with me one day. So we went to IHOP, we sat down, and I looked at him and I said, I know I need God, but I don't want God. I know that God is there. I know he's real. I know he has good things for me, but I don't want to follow God. It felt like rules. It felt like restrictions. Sometimes I think when we're sitting in those seats and we hear people up here talking about, or we read some of the stories, we can think, man, God's not fun. Like, he just has all these rules that we're not allowed to follow, or we have to follow, and it just takes away all my fun and all the things I enjoy to do. And that's kind of where I was at. And that started the process for me where Jesus was not just God on the throne looking at me for condemnation or out of a place of judgment, but actually as a friend and a companion. After I had said that to my best friend, I went on a journey with him and Jesus alone where Jesus met me as my best friend and as a lover of mine, not a God looking to condemn me. So I want to read a verse to you guys from John 15. It's John 15, 15 and 16, and the Amplified Version. It says, and this is Jesus talking to the disciples. So this is from the mouth of Jesus, the mouth of God, which is crazy. He says, I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you my friends. He says, my friends. Because I have revealed to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, as my representative, he may give to you. So, I just want to pause really quick and say that the God of the universe said that he's my friend. And he says that about all of you guys. Before you were even born, he called you his friend. So not these, not servants, not people that are sent on this earth to just mess up so he can come down and save because he has to. No, his friends, his best friends. He meets us where we are. So today I had a moment when I was sitting in IHOP and I said, God, I know I need you, but I don't want you. I think a lot of people here can relate to that. And a lot of people can sit and if they're being honest with themselves and say that that's where they might be at today. And I want to tell you that he wants to meet you there. He doesn't want you to clean yourself up and say, oh, I need to make sure that I'm reading my Bible this much and then I'll go to Jesus. Or I need to open my Bible this many times. I need to pray this many times. I need to go to the certain things. But he wants to meet you exactly where you're at. And he doesn't want to meet you with shame, with condemnation, but he wants to meet you as a best friend and a companion. He gives us permission in this verse when he says that he has chosen us before we were born. When he says that he's chosen us, that means we have permission to now enter in and come to him without having to be fixed, but he can actually help walk with us in that. Something that I kind of struggled with, and I think a lot of you guys can also relate, is Jesus and Christianity was a place or a classroom for me. Like, Christianity is now chapel. So we're in chapel right now, so we all feel like we're Christians, and then we're gonna go out and do whatever we feel like for the rest of our day. But as much as he is our friend and our companion, he's also God, so he's everywhere. And he wants to walk with us on our daily. So something that I did that was really cool was I started inviting the Lord into my sports. We're all athletes here, and most of us are athletes, most of us are athletes. And I started inviting the Lord into my sport with me. And I found joy in that sport that I had never seen before. I watched the Lord delight in my sport that I play. And it was crazy. You sometimes think that, like, oh, we play this sport and sports isn't talked about in the Bible, so is it really that important? But I watched the Lord start to delight and, like, enjoy me playing basketball and coming in and playing basketball, not just honoring the Lord, but almost with Jesus. And then also at the end of that verse, it talks about bearing fruit and fruit being lasting. Guys, it is the best decision I made. Was to decide that chapel was not just where my Christianity was going to end, but it was going to be with me forever from when I went to sleep to when I woke up. And I think that that decision is where comfort and joy, where he meets us with comfort and joy when we need it. I'm super practical, so I kind of told you guys my story, told you guys some of my takeaways from the verse and from my story. So if I could kind of leave you guys with three things, I would leave you guys with this. Grab onto a mentor. We do this thing in Christianity where we say, like, oh, I'm going to get a mentor, and we talk to him one time and then don't talk to him again for 2 months. But I grabbed onto a mentor. I was with this guy every single day. I made him hang out with me. I made him tell me everything he knew, impart what he had. So go grab a mentor. Go get somebody that's smarter than you and pick off them. Say, Nat, I know Nat. I know Michaela. I know Gabe. I know these people will sit down with you. If you say, I want to meet with you every week, biweekly, whatever it looks like for you. So grab onto a mentor. Number two, put the ball in his court. He's God. Ask him to show up. He wants to meet you more than you want to meet him, I promise. So ask him to show up and watch him. And then number three, don't hide your questions in confusion. He's God. He's bigger than our questions and our confusions, and he's not scared of them. Questions and confusion are allowed in the kingdom. If I could just pray real quick and just kind of end here. Jesus, best friend, companion, lover of my soul, I can't express to you how much gratitude I have that you choose me and you chose me before you knew, before anybody else knew me, before I was even a thought, you chose me. Lord, thank you that you choose everybody here. Lord, you appointed, this is not on accident. Everybody is here by divine purpose and by your purpose. So, Lord, I just pray right now that you would just move in people's minds and hearts and that you would show up in unexpected, crazy ways that they can't say it's anything else but Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Thank you so much, Zach. So good. Awesome. All right. Well, the next student that we're going to have share is also coming from Nevada. And where are my Nevada people at? Do we have a lot of you out there or what? Okay. Just Zach and Addie, I guess. Okay. Very cool. If you know Addie, you love Addie. Okay. So Addie Jones is just a huge amount of joy. Just everywhere she goes, she lights up a room, and you know that if you know her. But Addie has a raw and authentic story, childhood and coming to know Jesus, even being on this campus. And so I'm so excited for you guys to hear from Addie Jones. So come on up, Addie.
Bringing my water bottle because my throat is a little itchy. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Addie, or government name Addison. Stop calling me that. I'm currently a sophomore here at Simpson. I'm a communications and digital media major, a part of student leadership on the football media, student section club, and the women's golf team. Shout out golf team. Yeah. My phone closed out. Okay. And you've most likely seen me around campus with a camera or an energy drink in hand. But I'm not here to tell you about my many, many commitments on this campus. I'm here to tell you about how Jesus saved my life. I grew up in Reno, Nevada my whole life, boo. I did not grow up Christian in the slightest. I never went to church and had no idea Easter was actually a Christian holiday. I really did not. I was raised in a household where if you really wanted something in life, you had to work really hard for it. And if I fell short in that, I would be pushed even harder. As an athlete, this is great motivation in theory, but for me, it made me have a long battle of never feeling good enough. I stumbled upon Simpson University while being in the recruitment process of wanting to play college golf. It was always something I worked towards, even like my freshman year of high school. I was like, I'm going to play college golf. Girl, you're on JV. And I was invited here to the scholarship summit, and I remember just feeling so out of my comfort zone, and I have a story in this. I met one of my good friends now, Grace Lynn. And I don't remember saying this at all, but she told me that I told her that I was only here to play golf and I wasn't interested in this Jesus bleep. I'm not going to say the word, but that's what I said. But the whole time I just felt so out of my comfort zone. I was like, I don't know who this Jesus guy is. I'm good. I'm fine, you know? But I still committed solely to Simpson because I wanted to play golf and get a degree. That was it. But during my freshman year here, I met a group of girls who were just so on fire for the Lord. I was just like, wow, the Lord is really shining through on these girls. And the Simpson community opened me with welcome me with open arms. Yeah, there we go. And this in turn made me curious about Christianity. I bought a Bible. I was going to church. I was going to chapel and everything. But what most people didn't know was that I was dealing with years of depression and anxiety. I lived my life on autopilot, doing whatever I wanted, not caring how much it hurted me or hurting me or others. And I placed my identity in my sport, which was not that good because I was starting to struggle heavily in golf here. And my life was a mess, and I tried to hide that mess behind the image of being a good Christian. And by mid-semester, I was in a place of suffering that I had never experienced before. Golf was becoming like a chore. I started getting busier in school, trying to show up for my friends and still be a perfect daughter for my family. It was a lot. And to deal with all of this, I started to self-harm. It was gradual at first, but it would eventually become a daily habit because I relied so heavily on it. I told myself it was always the last time, but it never was. And my addiction made me turn completely away from God because I felt so ashamed and disgusted with myself. I believed the lie that I was not worthy enough for God and that I should just run away and turn. And I was in the deepest pit that you can imagine. I just saw no way out but one. So by February of this year, I was prepared to take my own life so that I could escape myself. I had it all planned out. I was going to leave nothing, no letters, no. I was just going to leave and do it quickly and just be gone. But as I was ready to do it, the Lord in that moment firmly said no. And I was halted in my action because the Lord spoke to me that I was made for more than this. And I truly, I cannot describe in that moment how loved and seen I felt in that moment. Because God was reaching out his hand to me, and he was waiting for me to take it and take back my life. And I did. And thank you. And since that day, I rededicated myself to Christ and pursued him passionately. God changed my heart and reshaped my identity around him. And I no longer had to feel not good enough because I had a community that was so firm in the Lord. So I knew I was set. And he placed the passion of photography on me, which has been such a blessing that I get to call that my job here on this campus and just get to capture so many good moments. And I got baptized here in the spring. It was such a good day. I saw not only me getting baptized, so many people were baptized. I think it was like 20-something people. It was a really good day. So you could say that my life with the Lord is amazing, and I no longer struggle. Wrong. I'm way better with Jesus. Yes, I am. But I want my story to be fully transparent in saying that I still struggle to this day. The Lord did not erase my mental health issues, just like the Lord did not remove Paul's thorn from him. I still have a thorn in my side. But the difference is that I don't have to walk alone with that. I still have days where temptation haunts me and sin threatens to swallow me whole. But I don't have to deal with that alone because the Lord is walking with me step by step, side by side, and is lighting my path to something more greater than I know. And honestly, when I was prepared to take my own life, when the Lord saved me from that, I still had no idea what my purpose was. I didn't know. But in his timing, I now get to see the purpose that I have solely from this semester and just how much fruit he has bore from that. So I just want to say that we may not know our purpose or our identity, But we will eventually know it because the Lord is going to reveal that to us when the time is right. And your identity and your purpose is going to be centered around him. And that is something so powerful. Like, that cannot be shaken. That cannot be taken away. Once you are his, you are his. And that can't be taken away. The Lord sees your heart, and he will build a purpose for you that will you will flourish in, because we all have a higher purpose in him. And it's just going to be revealed in his timing. And I just really want to testify that if you ever feel that, like, there's no way out, that you can't see the other side, or you don't think that you can keep moving, yes, you can, because the Lord is going to keep you moving. He's going to reach out his hand to you, and he's going to tell you that you are still good enough and that you can keep on walking through it, because he can make dead things come alive again, like himself. So, yeah, I'm going to say that to close, if you guys are ever feeling like that, please come talk to me. I will grab coffee with you guys. Like, I literally loved speaking about this and everything and pray for you guys. And I just want to close out in prayer, so if you guys would bow your heads. Lord, I thank you for this space that we have right now, just to be able to hear your word and hear your worship and just hear what you're speaking through to other people right now. Lord, I thank you that, yeah, we just get to come together as the body of Christ, you know, and just get to hear of your goodness and get to hear of your glory, Lord. I pray that if anyone just doesn't know what their purpose is, or just doesn't know where they are at in life, that you would just reveal that to them right now. I pray a blessing over them, that they would just have that revealed right now, Lord, or even eventually, just in your timing, Lord. And I just pray a covering over all these students, that you would continue to work in them, love on them, and move in them. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Addie. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Addie. Yeah, just a short note. Yeah, if self-harm or anxiety, depression, if that's part of your story, we have great resources on campus, over in the library, people to talk to, professional help. There's no shame around those things. And so please reach out and get help if that's something that you also are struggling through. So thank you, Addie, for sharing. All right, our last student who will be sharing is not from Nevada. He's in fact from San Diego, California. Where are my San Diego people at? Nice, very cool. Okay, Gage is an awesome, awesome student. And if you know him, you also probably just love him and his energy and just his joy for life as well. Gage is on our football team. If you're at FCA, Gage shared some of his story. He also got baptized back in August before school even started. And so, it's just a joy to welcome Gage Pritchard on up. Come on up, Gage. Let's give him a hand as he shares.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Like Ms. Natalie said, I told this story about like a little bit over a month ago, but you know, I had hair back then. And so some of you guys might've heard it before, but you know, like I've heard it from a lot of different people that your testimony changes as you tell it, because whatever you're trying to say in that moment is what God's trying to speak. So it's gonna be a little different. To give you guys a little bit of my background, let me breathe for a second. Okay, so both my parents are in the Navy. They've been in the Navy since they were 17. They met in the Navy, and they had me, and then they divorced within like 3 months of having me. And so with the way that works is they both get stationed to different parts. And so like my mom could be sent to Africa. My dad could be sent to like California. And so when that would happen, me and my brother, we would bounce around. So we'd stay with my mom for 3 years, bounce back to my dad for 3 years. And it was never in the same spot. So, you know, I'd make friends in one spot, and then, you know, we'd leave, you know, just leave my friends. And my dad, when I asked him this kind of thing, he didn't really believe in God. And when I asked him why, he kind of just gave me, like, a very broad statement that, like, his priest, when he was a child, like, did some, like, heinous things, and then he never really told those things to me. He still hasn't. But my mom was very Christian. And then so when I was living with my dad, He never talked about it, but he also never put that, you know, atheist kind of things on me. But my mom, you know, she was always putting like Christianity on me, right? And so like she taught me like three main prayers, like now I lay me down to sleep, Our Father who art in heaven, and then Hail Mary full of grace. So like my mom, very Christian, and she would take me to church every Sunday, me and my brother. You know, we go every Wednesday night too. And so around this time, so we were in Tennessee, and I was there for my third, fourth, and fifth grade year. And from my third all the way to fourth grade, we had been going to this one church that was right next to our house every single Sunday, very consistently, like never missed a Sunday. And that was probably one of my favorite churches I've ever been to, because like they had this nice little youth program. We, you know, play games and stuff. Like we like learn about the Lord, and then we go play some like tic-tac-toe or something. But then like one day we kind of just stopped going. And then, you know, a week had gone by, 2 weeks gone by, and I asked my mom, like, hey, like, you know, why don't we go to church anymore? And then like without hesitation, she, you know, she pulls up the news. And on the news, it was my youth pastor. He had ended up raping one of the kids in the church. And then so kind of since that day, I never went to church again. And, you know, I still remembered those prayers, but I never said them again. And then going with my dad, he never put any kind of religion on me. He kind of just never spoke about it. And then it got to a point to where my dad was sent to Bahrain and my mom was sent to Italy. And then so I had to go live with my cousins for like 2 years. And then, like, then my dad comes back, but my mom goes to Africa. And now I'm living with my dad. And, like, I'm saying, he's not talking about God at all. He's, you know, that never spoke about it, never tried to put it on me. And then, so it was never something I really thought about. And, ooh, I'm drawing a blank. So I get to high school. And at this time, my biggest thing was football. I only started playing because my dad, okay, so I was barely around my dad because of the Navy and everything, right? And so when I was with him, in my opinion, it was very hard for me to get his love. And when I did that, like, the only way I felt that he was truly loving me is when I was doing good on the football field, because he loved football. It's the only reason I played, because, you know, every Sunday I'd see him yelling at the TV screen, and he'd always ask to throw the ball with me. I was a little chunky little kid in middle school. He never liked that. So like when high school came around, I knew I had to, you know, change something about it. And so I get to high school, and right before my first game, he gets orders to Bahrain again, but this time it's for 4 years. So I hadn't seen my dad for already three. And then, so this was about to add on to it. And, you know, I wasn't living with my mom. I was living with my stepmom at the time. I love her so much. Don't get me wrong. But the love of your real parents it's a little different. You know what I mean? And, so, you know, I'm doing my best to play football, this, and this. And at this time, when I got to high school, I didn't believe in God. I started leaning more towards the scientific side of things. I didn't really think of God. I didn't talk to him. It was never on my mind. And like, you know, I started doing crazy things on the field, this, and this. And like my dad surprises me my junior year of high school. They do that little, the family reunion thing where like, my coach was in on it. Like, he had me like run a play or something. And like, I turned around, I saw my dad, I started crying. I ran up to him and stuff. And then I was like, dang, like, you know, now I really got to play, because he's actually going to see me now. And you know, like, doing my thing, whatever, good times. I see my dad, and not even a month later, he gets sent right back. And so, like, my biggest thing is that, like, I miss my parents. You know what I mean? I missed them a lot. And some, you know, some things happened in high school between my family, and about towards my senior year, I was living in a house surrounded by family, but I was alone. At least that's how I felt. But in reality, you know, God was with me in that whole time. And that's something I've realized as, you know, the futures came to me. And so senior year, high school football's over. I kind of have like maybe like two other offers from like random schools. And I didn't really think I was going to be playing football anymore. But I knew it was something, you know, my dad really wanted me to do. So I was like, I'm going to do my hardest to try and, you know, do something for my dad. And I get a call from Simpson, and Simpson, they tell me, they're like, They're like, hey, you know, we want to send you on a visit out here in like March. Like, what do you say? So I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know what I mean? So I come out here, and like I remember I show up, I meet Isaac, the counselor guy, and so I meet him. He kind of shows me to my dorm. This is one of the ones in Cooper, but it was very empty. It was just like a bed, and I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what I was expecting. Like, I brought my Xbox, but like I didn't really think there'd be like a TV in there or something. But like, I thought it was gonna be like a hotel. I'm kind of just sitting in the room for like a good couple hours, and then I get a text from the coach, football coach, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to come watch practice?" I'm like, "Sure." So you know, I come to practice, I meet some of the players, I watch them, and that's when they introduce me to the guy who's gonna be like in charge of me for the night, and that guy was Trayson Bumstead. Trey, like, we were like talking for a bit, we go get dinner, and then like we come back, we play like video games in like the lobby, and then he's like, he was telling me, I guess he was trying to like convince me, like trying to do something that would convince me to come here, and he was like, "Man, I wish there was something going on, I want to take you to something," like, dang, that like the sun was going down, it was already like pitch black outside. He's like, "I wish I could take you to the sundial right now, but like, dang, like, it's too dark." And then this was also the week of Lent, and I think it was Good Friday. And at the Stirring, they do this, like, 36-hour worship, and it was towards the end of it. And then Trey asked me, he's like, "Hey, you want to go to church?" And, like, I didn't really think of it. I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And mind you, like, last time I went to church was in the fourth grade. And so I'm like, "Sure, like, why not? Let's go." And we get to this church, and like we're walking around, you know what I mean, kind of just like maneuvering through. We get to like this kind of corner in the back, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking around. And as I'm looking around, I'm just looking at all these people, and like everyone just looked so happy, and they're jumping around, they're smiling, they're dancing, they're worshiping like Jesus Christ, and I'm looking over at them, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, dang, like I want to be that happy too, you know what I mean? I want to meet Jesus Christ. I wish I could be as happy as them. And so I kind of start to try and like mimic Trey, because I see Trey and he's reading the words on the board, and he's got his hands out here, or like as he's like reading it and things, and it's like, I try to mimic him, but like I was very hesitant and shy, so my hands are kind of like tucked in right here. My hands kind of closed a little bit. I'm like mumbling the words underneath my breath, and that went on for like a good like maybe 5-10 minutes. And then, mind you, this is my first time in Redding, California. Okay, first time in Redding, California. This random lady comes and taps me on my shoulder, and she came. She's like, "Hey, can I come speak to you for a second?" I thought I was in trouble. I don't know what I did. Like I thought, like, within my couple hours of being here, I had already messed something up. And then so, you know, she pulls me to the corner, and, like, I said, my heart dropped. I was scared. And then she's like, "Hey, like, I saw you from the other side of the room. And when I saw you, God gave me a vision. And in this vision, like, I see you swinging this axe. You're trying to chop this ginormous piece of wood. You keep hacking at it and hacking at it and hacking at it, but you can't even put a chip in this piece of wood. And I see you trading this axe for a 10 times, a million times stronger axe with God. And he gives you this axe, and in one blow, you chop that piece of wood in half with ease." And she said that me trading that axe with God is supposed to represent me accepting him into my life. And that piece of wood is supposed to represent whatever I was going through, whatever adversity, whatever obstacle that I was facing, that if I just accept him into my life, then he will help me through whatever I'm going through. And in that moment, I just started crying. I couldn't stop. It was crazy. I didn't know what was going on. And she's like, "Can I pray for you?" And I was like, "Yes, ma'am." And, you know, she starts praying. And I don't know, like, my first time in Redding, California, this random lady, and the words she was saying was just spot on. Like, how could she have known these things about my life if I've never met her before? And she just starts talking and praying for me, and I just start bawling my eyes out, and I swear on everything I love, in that moment that she was praying for me, I felt Jesus Christ's hand on my shoulder, And I got chills all over my body. I couldn't stop crying. I could not stop crying. I thought about it for every single night. I've never had an encounter like that. That's something you think about. Like you hear stories about it, but you never think it's real until it actually happens to you. And like it was so surreal. And like as soon as I got home, I called my mom, I called my dad, and like I told him everything that had happened. And I was like, I need to be here. This is where I need to be. And so next thing you know, I'm here in August, and I'm doing my thing, playing football or whatever, and I decided I wanted to get baptized here. And on the day I was going to get baptized, I ended up tearing my ACL 30 minutes before the baptism. And, you know, it sucks, you know what I mean? I feel like I've worked pretty hard to put in a lot of hours, you know, for something that could be taken away in an instant. And, you know, my first thought of it was that it was very, you know, it was very hard. And then I got some advice from one of my good friends, Nakota Jackson, and he told me that the devil tries his hardest to veer you off your course with the Lord when you get your closest. And, like, those words kind of just, you know, it stuck with me. So I just, in a way, it was a blessing because it has helped me, you know, maneuver through some things that I'm, you know, trying to figure out right now. And, oh, man, remember my dad being an atheist? So I told this story to my dad. So yeah, I spoke at FCA, right? I told everyone that story. I've never had a moment where I've spoken to people and people listened to what I was saying. Like it was crazy. So I told my dad about it because it was something I was very proud of. And oh, in that moment of me talking to my dad, he found Jesus Christ in that phone call. He found Jesus Christ in that phone call. Yeah. And About a year ago, my stepmother, she was pregnant, but she ended up miscarrying the baby. And, you know, it was very hard on my family. And then not even a week after my dad found Jesus Christ, we find out she's pregnant again. And so I'm going to have another sibling. But, like, it's so crazy in the way that the Lord works. It's just, yeah, so that's my story. Come on, yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much, Gage. This is incredible. You guys, let's give Zach, Addy, and Gage a hand for sharing. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So awesome. Why don't you all stand? And I'm going to ask Hannah to come on up. Hannah's going to close out this morning. And if anyone wants to stick around and pray or anything like that, please do that. Please talk to these three if you want to hear more of their story or share your own. And Hannah's going to close us out.
I just want to start with inviting Spiritual Forum prayer team to come on up. Just stand in front of the stage. I encourage you guys, come up for prayer if that's been tugging on your heart, especially with these student stories. Coming from someone who shared my own story in this exact same spot 2 years ago, it is so difficult coming up here and sharing in front of your peers, and especially with no notes. Holy Gage, like, that was amazing. Oh my gosh. But it's hard. So even if anything didn't tug at your heart from their story and you see them walking around, just be like, thank you for sharing. Like, thank you for taking that scary task to share with us what you went through. I encourage you to talk to them around campus. If you see them, stop them. Ask them questions. If a part of their story sounds a lot like yours, talk to them. And I love hearing people's stories because it always reminds me that with our human thinking, we think that a perfect God who came down as human, who never sinned, would be repulsed by brokenness. But the thing I love about Jesus is he rushes in. It's what gets him out of bed in the morning is people's brokenness. And the moment that I swear that you guys will think, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I can't go to church, I can't sit in chapel, I can't raise my hands in worship because of this and this and this, Jesus is like, I want that one. That's the one I died for. And he rushes in. So always remember that. Like Nat said, missions trips are in the back. Feel free to go back there if you fill out the application. It's an exciting thing to do. And I'm going to close this out in prayer, and then after I close this out in prayer, the scan out, instead of being at the back, it'll be on the screen. So just bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for the stories that were shared today, Lord. I thank you for every individual story that exists in this room, Lord. And I love that your transformative love doesn't end with us. it moves from us. Like, engage a story with his dad and stepmom, with Addie and those around her, with Zach and those around him, Lord. It just never stops. It spreads from us, Lord. And we thank you for the fact that you rush in towards our brokenness, Jesus, that you don't shy away from it. You rush in to heal it and make us new. Like Addie said, you raise dead things back to life. The old creation is gone, and the new creation is here to stay, Lord. And we rest in that fact, and we walk every single day with you, Jesus. And we love you. I pray a blessing over these students this weekend. Keep them safe, Lord. Watch over them. And we love you, and we thank you, and we hope to live the rest of our lives with you, Lord. Amen.